Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. Columbus has reached 4 record-setting days this month with temperatures in the 80s, making the days earlier this week feel more like June than April. But luckily, today is a more typical spring day in Central Ohio, and temperatures for this weekend look pretty normal as well. And lucky for us, Ohio has straightened out its seasons because today we are talking about enjoying the outdoors in the spring here in Central Ohio. For the next hour, our panel will help you plan some day trips and long weekends that will help you get outside and wipe away the winter blues. Joining me in the studio this morning is Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Jean Bax. Welcome.
Hi, Amy. Thanks.
Columbus and Franklin County Metro Park spokesperson Peg Hanley. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross. Thanks
How's it
for
going,
being
Amy?
Here. Hi. Let's start by talking about where we can see the parks come back to life. Where do we see flowers in bloom? Jean, where do you like to go to see spring in action?
Well, I have a personal few favorite locations. One of them, if you're inclined to go toward the southwest, John Bryan State Park and the adjoining Clifton Gorge Nature Preserve and also Glen Helen Preserve are a spectacular place to see wildflowers. There's lots of trillium there. It's a very, very nice location. Shawnee down on the Ohio River is a beautiful place to see wildflowers. Malabar Farm and Mohican State Parks in the northeast are also very nice. Caesar Creek.
Yeah,
they're all nice.
They're all nice. Yeah. Okay. So is there a certain place that you would recommend above others if people are wildflower enthusiasts, maybe like that, if someone really wants to see, you know, something that they haven't seen in the city?
Sure. Shawnee in that area of the state has some amazing biological diversity. There are several nature preserves, nature conservancy areas, in addition to the Shawnee State Park and State Forest. And as far as the state park system goes, there's probably the greatest number of rare finds, some rare vernal irises. I'm sorry, lost my thought there for a minute. Some lady slipper orchids. They'll be blooming just a little bit later on. Those are our May wildflowers. I just noticed in the woods the other night there's bluebells blooming around Ohio, so you could certainly get a load of those just about anywhere around this area.
All right, sounds great. Peg, why don't you tell us your favorite metro park to see spring in bloom?
Oh, wow. I've got two favorite ones.
Okay.
And I think with spring coming on, a lot of people have been like inside all winter. So if you're just getting out and your legs aren't real seasoned to walking, I suggest going to Inniswood Metro Gardens.
Mm.
You'll see the kinds of flowers you would in your yard, but you'll get inspiration if you're not a gardener. And then part of the 121-acre Inniswood is also a nature preserve, so you'll get to see some of the wildflowers that are blooming along the trails. But it's just a kind of a neat place to, if you want flattened walks. But then if you really want to get away and you want to spend the whole day where nobody will see you, I really suggest Clear Creek Metro Park down in Fairfield and Hocking Counties.
Okay.
It's just delightful.
Tell us some flowers that you'll see there.
You'll see some trilliums right now. You'll see the white trillium. You'll see some bloodroot, service berries just coming on. And then my understanding is just last week the warblers have started coming through. So if you're a birding enthusiast, that is just another delight. And the trails, you may not run into somebody if you take the Hemlock Trail.
Oh, so you can be by yourself.
Absolutely.
Right. And John, tell us your favorite place to see spring.
Well, actually, it's a new favorite. I was just down at Stages Pond, which is about, it's a state nature preserve, just about 5 miles north of Circleville. And it's kind of small. It's kind of, you know, one of those preserves that you might have heard about and just never taken a day trip down there. But I did, and I really loved it. You've got two kettle lakes. You know, it's glaciated part of Ohio. And you've got amphibians. You know, I saw a couple of snakes crossing the path, lots of waterfowl migrating through. Like you guys had mentioned, there are some trillium and some bloodroot and some spring beauties popping out there too. So that really blew me away.
What was it called again?
Stages Pond.
Stages Pond. I don't think I've ever even heard of that mentioned.
Yeah, like a lot of these, you know we hear more about the state parks than we probably do the nature preserves, but I've really kind of been on this quest to discover these forgotten places, and it's really paid off.
So
Is there another place that you've been on these quests for forgotten places? What's another forgotten place that you recently have discovered?
I guess another one we were talking about this earlier is Cedar Bog, which is up in Urbana. And that's a really cool place. It's like very otherworldly. It's this rare ecological system that where you'll get the showy lady slippers and a lot of the spring wildflowers. And really, it stays pretty colorful throughout the whole summer. So anytime you go basically from now to September would be pretty sweet.
And John, when you write the venture column for Columbus Alive. Basically, a venture, short for adventure, I guess,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
You have done everything from taking a little venture to oil a bike chain to this week the Riviera Maya, which is a little far from Ohio, so maybe we won't talk about that.
It's a little much for a day trip, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. But what kind of things do you like to focus on? I mean, if you're oiling a bike chain one day and then you're heading to a nature preserve the next day, do you just kind of run the gamut?
Yeah, basically my MO is that Ohio is the intermediate day trip capital of the world. You know, I think a lot of people think, well, I got to go to the Rocky Mountains. I got to go to the left or right coast. I've got to go up into Canada. And yeah, there's great, amazing natural resources in all those places. But we have kind of a very user-friendly version of all those things right here. And basically, I just try to do as much of that and get people to go along with me.
Have you heard reactions from readers? Do they tell you that they help them discover a place?
Yeah, I mean, I hear it everything. You know, I write a monthly gear review. You know, I try to keep it, affordable things that can really help you outside. I get a lot of feedback from that. And I do get suggestions from, like, Stages Pond was a suggestion from a reader where it's like, hey, have you ever checked out this place? You should go down and let readers know about it. So I try to, it's obviously focused within, kind of an hour's drive of downtown. But I've been venturing just into all the wonderful things that we have in Ohio, and every year that I've been doing this, I just get more and more astounded by what we do have here.
And you took a venture to Shawnee State Park recently. Gene, tell us a little bit about what makes Shawnee special.
Well, Shawnee's got a little bit, I think, for everybody. It's the State Park Lodge there. Has very nice accommodations, perched high up on a hill overlooking the Ohio River. It's in the area referred to as Ohio's Little Smokies. There's an adjacent state forest, so there is probably the largest tract of unbroken forest in the state in that area. Again, the biological diversity, because it's close to the Kentucky bluegrass area, is unique in the state. Let's see, there's a golf course, campground, getaway rentals in the campground, all that kind of state parky stuff that people like to do. And it's there's a great naturalist at the park and wonderful naturalist programs. It's just got a lot to lend itself to pretty much everybody.
And John, when you went there, you said that you like to be more adventurous, but you went in the winter, I think, so you kind of spent a little time indoors too.
Yeah, when I wrote about Shawnee State Park, and again, Gene, I think that it's just a fantastic park. I think you guys do a really great job down there. I kind of did a two-part story where it was like the best inside and out, whereas I think Shawnee is really cool because it has a beautiful state park lodge and conference center. There's really cushy amenities indoors, and then you're right in this really kind of rugged terrain, so it's like you've got the best kind of both worlds. And like you said, I went in the middle of winter, so I did the day hike trail in like about a foot and a half of snow, and it was one of the hardest hikes I've done this year for sure, but it was like, it's just you're in the middle of nowhere. It's really cool in that way.
Well, snow is like the S word for me, so I don't even want to talk about it. Let's just move on. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. Joining me today is John Ross with Columbus Alive. He writes the Venture column. Also, Ohio State Park spokesperson Gene Banks and Metro Park spokesperson Peg Hanley. And we want to hear from you. 614-292-8513. That's 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Where do you enjoy seeing spring in bloom in Central Ohio? And Peg, let's talk a little bit about the eagles you have in the metro parks.
This is the first time ever in our 60-year history that eagles have nested in our park. And our naturalist at High Banks, as we're talking now, is probably sitting on the overlook deck with spotting scopes and about 50 people trying to determine if those two eagles have hatched yet.
Ooh.
We've had the eagles hatch at Three Creeks, and we think there's two babies in there, but we're only seeing one baby. So this is just really exciting that these birds are back, and they're in a metro park. And we've got people on deck all every weekend from 11 to 5 with spotting scopes, trivia about eagles. You know, they've been taken off the endangered species list, but yet they're still protected. So, you know, somebody might call in the naturalist by the end of the show and let us know that we're proud parents of a couple of babies at High Banks.
Oh, how exciting. I mean, this must be just the most exciting thing for local birders here in Central Ohio, that they're right in their own backyard.
Local birders and photographers, believe me. The photographers have been out in force with big lenses. Kids are out there, and it's just terribly exciting.
So how would people, if they're listening right now and they didn't even know that these eagles were there, how would they make an appointment, or how can they get a guided tour? How does that work?
If they go to the Nature Center at High Banks, because you can't see the eagles too well at Three Creeks, but each weekend we'll have people on the deck, the overlook deck. They'll have to hike about 2.5 miles. It's not a real rugged hike. It is a little bit uphill. But then they will be about 200 feet from the eagle nest and with the spotting scopes. Right now, if they're incubating eggs, one is always sitting on the nest. The other is kind of gently gliding down the creek, the river actually, looking for fish to feed them. And they take two-hour shifts. So if you're patient, you'll see a shift change, which is terribly exciting. And the female is larger than the male. So, you know, and the naturalists are going to point out all the trivia. We're getting inundated with questions. I've even become an eagle kind of expert of sorts. Tell you they have 7,000 feathers, and I didn't know that two weeks ago.
Fun fact for your day.
Yes.
How did they just look up and say, oh, my goodness, we have eagles nesting here?
last year they were playing house because they were juveniles and they can't quite get it together to mate that first year. And we knew they were about 3 or 4. So they were bringing sticks to the nest. And then more sticks were coming on this year, and they take over a red tail's nest, and more sticks were being put on. So what we did was finally, when you see the behavior where the eagle is not leaving the nest, you can pretty well be confirmed that eggs are in the nest. And ODNR doesn't do any flyovers anymore, so everything now is, gee, how do we know how many are in there and that? So,
well, I'd love to hear from any listeners if you have been with a naturalist to see these eagles nesting, 614-292-8513. Or you can send a little email about your experience at allsides@wosu.org, 614-292-8513. Did you want to add anything about the eagles, John? Have you seen them?
Yeah, I got the chance to go there last Saturday, and it is pretty cool. And like you said, people are really excited. There's a really nice kind of vibe that this is kind of a big win for, you know, just conservation and for the metro parks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope everyone has a chance to check that out. Is there when do you have to get there by before they might be gone?
Once they've been sitting on the eggs for 35 days.
Okay.
And then the eagles, once they hatch, it'll take them about 2 months before they fledge. So you've got a pretty good window of time to see them.
Okay. Because there's no guarantee that they'll be back again, right? They could pick a new location to nest.
Typically, they mate for life. And
okay.
And I've been watching an eagle cam in Norfolk at the Botanical Gardens. And the eagles have come back ever since 2006. Same nest.
Okay, well, maybe we have some permanent residents here.
We hope so.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. We're going to take a short break, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about spring in Central Ohio on All Sides Weekend here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
I think we're really benefiting from that staycation mentality.
At the Columbus Zoo, ranked number one in the nation by One Travel Guide, attendance is up about 30% so far this year.
Normally in a downturn in the economy, zoos and local attractions like zoos do very well.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. Cloudy skies today with a high around 53. Currently, it's 42 degrees. Tonight, chance of frost after midnight with a cold low around 33. Tomorrow, areas of frost in the morning. Otherwise, sunshine and warmer in the afternoon with a high of 68.
Support for WOSU comes from Kappa, presenting Dance Brazil, performing a fusion of contemporary Afro-Brazilian movement and capoeira, the traditional martial arts dance form of Brazil, at the Ohio Theater, Tuesday, April 13th at 8 p.m. More at kappa.com.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. This morning, we're talking about enjoying the great outdoors right here in your own backyard this spring. In the studio is Peg Hanley, spokesperson for the Columbus and Franklin County Metro Parks, Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax, and Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross. 614-292-8513, that's how you can join the conversation, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org, just like Kelly did. And Kelly says, the best place for enjoying the scenery and doing absolutely nothing, in a good way, absolutely nothing, is Franklin Park. Anyone have any comments about Franklin Park? A place to do nothing? Which is a good thing.
Yeah, in the leisurely do-nothing way, I think Franklin Park Conservatory is fantastic. I actually run a community garden out on the east side, and they've been a huge resource for us just in that way. They opened up essentially last September. They kind of launched this great new community garden campus where you can go there and see cooking demonstrations. You can learn about how to grow herbs in a planter or a big plot. And then, you know, they do have the beautiful Chihuly art and the Palm House and things like that. And just wandering around inside or out is one of my favorite things to do, for sure.
Yeah, I was just there not too long ago because I wanted to see the Chihuly exhibit before it closed at the end of March, and things were still looking pretty dead. You know, everything was kind of brown, so I'm excited to go back because I love to see it when it's all green, especially outside. Inside, it's always green, of course. But
yeah,
outside,
it must be nice. I'd like to have that in my house, but...
Gene, let's talk a little bit about a wildflower hike. Several of your parks are having wildflower hikes. I like the title, the Wildflower and Waterfall Hike at Hocking Hills. It's one of my favorite places.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. On our website, ohiostateparks.org, you can get the complete list. I just made a count, and in the next few weekends, there's a total of 17 wildflower hikes all around the state. Hocking Hills, definitely a wonderful place to go to see wildflowers on your own or with a naturalist. But it's wonderful to go on one of those guided hikes. You have an expert with you to help point things out and maybe also offer some local lore. I know the naturalist at Hocking Hills is very well versed in the interesting things that have gone on in the past there too. That's a really great hike, the waterfalls and the wildflowers. You get both. There's a lot of birding hikes offered here and there, even some mushroom hunting hikes in May at a couple of parks.
At Caesar Creek, you have, is it morel mushrooms? Or
yes.
Okay. I don't know my mushrooms, but what is that hike?
That's a hike where you can go along with a naturalist, and she must have a bead on where the good morel patches are. So provided that the conditions are right and there's been enough moisture and that's the right weekend, you know, morels can be a little tricky that way. And they're a little difficult to find. They blend in really well. Although once you find a few, you might find that you see them everywhere once you get the mushroom bug. It's nice to have someone who can identify them with you because you don't want to pick the wrong kind.
Perhaps I don't have a mushroom bug because I was looking at that on your website and I said, morel mushrooms, is that cool? I don't know.
apparently, you get the bug when you actually try eating them. I think that's where the real allure comes from, because you saute them with some butter and some garlic and it's out of this world for sure.
Okay. I like them.
Well, we probably wouldn't pick them from the state park. We wouldn't recommend that, would we?
When you're on the guided hike with the naturalist, I'm sure some will be picked. If you go out by yourself, that would be a bit of a no-no.
A no-no. Okay, we'll stick with the no-nos. But tell me about these hikes that you're talking about with the naturalist. Do you have to make reservation or can you just show up?
You just show up. Most of them start, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, usually at a pretty leisurely pace. Typically, they pick a trail where you're going to find a lot of variety of wildflowers and, you know, whatever's blooming in abundance is when they try to time those. So it would be pretty family friendly, pretty easy to take everybody along and kind of go at your own pace.
I'm sure some of them get more crowded than others. Like if it's a beautiful Saturday,
sure.
like we're going to have this weekend, you know, then you might want to get there a little early.
Yeah, you don't want them to take off down the trail without you.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about hiking and that kind of thing at the Metro Parks. I know that the Metro Parks is great for short hikes, and there's even some places with some long hikes. Peg, are there any specific guided hikes or anything like that you want to talk about?
We've got about 200 programs just in the spring, but I would suggest getting with the naturalist at Three Creeks to see the Bluebell Trail hikes because they're just popping out this week. That is a fantastic place. And our naturalist at Battelle Darby Creek, Tim Taylor. Tim's been with the park system close to 30 years. I think he knows every wildflower, every bird with binoculars, blindfolded, he could tell you. So he's got a series of hikes coming on that are wildflower hikes one weekend and then bird hikes the next weekend. Those are all free. You can check our website, www.metroparks.net. That would be a great hike. Also, if you just want to see Inniswood, our gardeners are out there showing you the tulips, and you'd get a chance to, if you wanted to take a little hike into the preserve area, I'd suggest doing that.
Okay.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
Amy said she didn't know anything about morel mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you, they're $79 a pound in the grocery store. But you can't pick them in the Metro Parks.
Oh, dear.
I concur with John. They are wonderful sautéed in butter. But when I see them outside my office, I'm going, ethical dilemma.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I am learning more about mushrooms than I ever thought I needed to know. And I would be remiss if I didn't say at our website, wosu.org/allsides, we do have links. We have metroparks.net there. We have ohiostateparks.org. And we have columbusalive.com. We have those links there. So you can check that out in one place, wosu.org/allsides. And, John, I know that hiking is something that you do a lot of. Is there a favorite hiking location that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, well, John Bryan and Clifton Gorge has already been mentioned. And if I've got a free hour, and within an hour's drive, that's probably my go-to spot. If I've only got like a half an hour to drive, I really love Slate Run Metro Park. You're probably familiar with the historical farm. You might have gone on like a school tour there over the years. But you know, if you're not really interested in late 18th century agriculture, there's still something for you down there. Really, it's cool grassland preserve. You've got basically kind of a trifecta of Ohio outdoors. You've got some real dense woods. You've got some prairie and meadows, and then you've got some really quality marshlands with some boardwalks and some spotting scopes and some little vernal pools and ponds. It's really cool. Not only, you know, if you're into birds, it's definitely a great place to see migratory waterfowl and warblers. And then, you know, if you're just into taking in some great views, it's good for that as well.
Do you take easy hikes or do you try to do the more difficult hikes?
You know, generally it ranges. Mm-hmm. You know, I like sometimes, you know, just going out there where I can just kind of zone out and think about stuff. And then I like stuff where I'm really picking up some tough trail miles. So I try to run the gamut. You know, like I said, down in Shawnee, that's a really difficult hike. You know, Zaleski, if I do that loop in a day, that's a pretty difficult hike. And then most of the stuff that you were going to see in our Metro Park system is relatively easy and pretty flat.
So if you venture out there and try to find it, Ohio is not all flat. You can find some hiking.
No, I mean, you're not going to see, you know, obviously we don't have a giant mountain range running
right.
through. You're probably familiar with the state to notice that.
Yeah.
But we do have a really diverse collection of terrain in Ohio. There's really cool stuff out there. And, you know, I think, you know, people are familiar with the Hocking Hills. You're definitely going to get some elevation changes out there, and then straight south by Chillicothe. And then even into the southwestern portion of the state around Dayton, you're going to get some good up and downs if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, but not to say that hiking requires going up and down. I mean, hiking
no.
can just be going through a park, going through
yeah.
any. Yeah.
Hiking's just really a fancy outdoor writer's term for walking,
yes,
essentially.
Yes,
so,
of course.
Yeah, and it does take all kinds to really get out there for sure.
Well, you sound like you're doing something more exciting when you're hiking rather than just
right.
going
oh,
for a
yeah.
walk, you
yeah.
know, of course. Recently you wrote about trail running too. You wrote, you gave us a list of, you picked an easy, a medium, and a difficult for trail running.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the easy, which is Three Creeks Metro Park?
Three Creeks was the metro park that made me fall in love with the metro parks. It was my very first metro park that I ever went to when I was in Columbus. And what I liked about trail running at Three Creeks is that you've got some short loops that meet up with a paved connector trail, one of the Greenways trails. So what I suggested was parking in the parking lot, you know, get warmed up, get your ankles, muscles, you know, get the blood flowing, that kind of thing, on the paved connector, and then jump off trail, which winds back around near the parking lot. So it's kind of an easy way to get introduced to the sport, which can be a little bit daunting for even people who have run on the roads for a long time.
Yeah, I would say running is not my thing. So that's why I said, let's start with the easy run. Peg, is there any other metro park that you would recommend for people who are trying to just get out for the first time after winter?
Besides Three Creeks, because it is really, really flat, Glacier Ridge in Dublin, that's completely paved most of the way, mm-hmm. completely flat. And then Prairie Oaks. Now, Prairie Oaks can get a little windy if you don't want the wind at your back. But those are ones that they're just kind of easy to saunter along, and they're not as rugged as getting into a Chestnut Ridge or a Clear Creek Metro Park.
And my husband's training for a marathon, actually, and he does a lot of running at High Banks. He just absolutely loves it there. You listed that as medium difficulty.
Yeah, I ran High Banks this weekend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I actually ran out to see the Eagles, so it was kind of two birds with one stone. It was nice. And High Banks is cool because you do have, you know, it's not paved for the most part. There is one little section that you can walk along the paved portion, but for the most part, it's gravel or grass. So you're going to get, you know, you're going to need to use those stabilizing muscles. And like Peg said, that there is a little bit more of an up and down nature to the terrain than you would find at like a Three Creeks or a Prairie Oaks.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We want to hear your favorite place to enjoy spring in Ohio, or is there an Ohio destination that you'd like to ask our panel about? 614-292-8513. And Jean, tell me a little bit about, let's talk about birds for a minute. You have a migration bird walk happening at Lake Hope in the near future.
Yes, we do. Lake Hope is a wonderful place to see migratory songbirds. So is Hocking Hills. In fact, they're both part of a Hocking birding trail that's kind of recommendations for places to go in that area. The Mohican State Park area, another beautiful river gorge, is a great place to see migratory birds. Down in Shawnee, again, we get that lot of diverse forest. So a number of state parks are offering birding hikes. Those tend to be in May, International mm-hmm. Migratory Bird Weekend.
The first week of May.
First week of May. Yeah. So if you check our website, you can find out where those locations are. Maumee Bay up on the lake also celebrates the International Migratory Bird Day with programming. There are, you know, Lake Erie is a great place to spot bald eagles. Some of the other inland lakes that are large also have some eagles. Some of them are nesting kind of spread around the state. So birding definitely is a wonderful thing to be doing just about anywhere, really.
Are you noticing an uptick in the number of people coming to the state parks for birding? Because I read recently that bird watching and just anything involving birds is one of the most increasing hobbies in the United States.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Those birding programs are very popular and they keep growing year by year.
So have you created any new programs for birding for this year?
Houston Woods has a really dynamic naturalist who is developing a Queen City birding hike. Looks like that event is going to take off and become an annual thing. So Houston Woods is another one of those places with a lot of forest, good place to see migratories coming through.
Do you do any birding, John?
Yeah, actually, I got into it 2 years ago and had a goal of spotting 100 species. And in Ohio, that was like a lot easier than I thought. I actually did it by about September. And if, you know, I think you've mentioned a couple of great state parks. Another smaller one that you might not know about is McGee Marsh, which is up in Oak Harbor near Toledo. And essentially, this is one of the, you know, I guess it's called the warbler capital of the world at one point during the migration season. Essentially, it's just a small boardwalk near the lake, and you can just stand there and just watch these warblers that you've never seen. The trees are literally dripping with these small, awesome, colorful songbirds. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. I was a pretty novice birder when I went up there for the first time, and everybody's there with beautiful spotting scopes, beautiful cameras, and just you know, birders are the greatest evangelists. Anybody who doesn't know about birds, they want to tell you more about mm-hmm. birds, probably more than you want to hear about birds at some point. But, I mean, yeah. people are super helpful. There's naturalists up there during, you know, the first couple of weeks of May when it gets really crowded. And it's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen outside.
And, Peg, before the show started, we were talking a little bit about birds. Earlier, we talked about the eagles. But tell me about a few other bird-watching ideas in the metro parks.
These are our partners, Audubon, down mm-hmm. at Scioto Audubon Metro Park. They have started – and that park opened just last year, but they have just started a program, and they're looking for people who want to become birders. It's called Birding for a Better Columbus. So if you're anywhere from ages 11 on up, they will have you come down. You will spend 10 minutes – just identifying any birds that you can identify. And maybe I, because I'm a neophyte when it comes to birding, only know a robin and a sparrow. Mm-hmm. Each week I come back, I'll be with that person who knows birding, and I'll get to know more birds. But they're also trying to determine the diversity of the bird population in central Ohio, and is Audubon being down there in that park, being down there, Scioto Audubon Metro Park, having an influence on the number of birds, because right now we've got about 200 different species of birds on the peninsula. So this is a real cool thing. And as you said, Amy, birding is outdistances hunting in terms of outdoor sports and that. It's just something anybody can do. So
it's the growing pastime, definitely. We have Ken on the line, 614-292-8513. And Ken, what is your recommendation you want to talk about?
Well, actually, I just had some questions. I was going to ask about biking. You guys have, like, bike paths and stuff you recommend at the metro parks or at the state parks? What state parks are good for biking?
Oh, we have a lot of nods going on. John, why don't you tell us about biking?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and it's definitely a resource that we have scattered throughout the Columbus area. My favorite is the Olentangy Greenway Trail, which basically hugs the Olentangy River from downtown to Worthington. There's a couple of spots under construction in the midsection, but essentially it's just a great paved connector that brings you to a lot of the City of Columbus parks, Park of Roses, Whetstone Park, Como Park, Antrim Lake, and then basically up to Worthington. People use it to commute. People use it for recreation. It's essentially everything you want about a multi-use trail. It's pretty, it's user-friendly, and if you need a bike, Ken, I just found out that Handy Bikes, with locations in Grandview and OSU North Campus, they rent bikes for half a day and full day. Pretty affordable. So if you're looking
nice.
To just – yeah, and the locations are really close to actually the trailhead. So if you're looking to just get out for an afternoon, that's a great way to do it.
Okay, so that's one recommendation. And, Gene, biking in the state parks.
There's actually a state park that's devoted to biking. The Little Miami State Park runs through four Ohio counties. So that would be a great place to start if you like to have pavement underneath you. And there are many spur trails, so you can make a day of it or even make a weekend of it. There are plenty of overnight places to stay along that trail also. Very nice experience. If you're interested in mountain biking, there are about 24 mountain biking trails all around the state park. Some of the closest are at Alum Creek State Park. There are many, many opportunities.
I would say this is the best time of year for biking because it's not too hot. It's the perfect temperature, so you can definitely get out there and go far distances or just short rides if that's what you're interested in. No bugs. There will be no bugs out right now, but eventually there will be. Peg, what about biking in the metro parks?
I would suggest Three Creeks. It's very flat. You're going from Groveport all the way up to near Bexley by Livingston. And you can, with a little bit maneuverability, cross over to Wolf Park and actually wind your way downtown. That's about 18 miles of paved trails, which is really, really exciting. I got to tell you this, though, Amy, ticks are out.
Yeah.
We just encountered that last week. So we've had this is the earliest they've been out. So we've had a tick warning. So if you are biking or if you are hiking, be mindful of that.
Yeah.
I know. My dog already found one. Ken, does that help you with your biking?
Yeah, very much so.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well,
okay.
Enjoy biking this weekend. It's supposed to be beautiful. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. Joining me in the studio is Gene Bax with the Ohio State Parks, John Ross with Columbus Alive, and Peg Hanley with Metro Parks. We'll be back with your calls and emails in just a moment. This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Are you tired of boring dinner parties? Wish you could impress your in-laws? Tune in to Fresh Air for coverage of politics, novels, filmmaking, and world affairs that you'll be talking about for days. Astonish your friends. Amaze your colleagues. Fresh Air, giving you something to talk about for over 20 years.
Fresh Air is coming up today in just about 20 minutes here on WOSU 820 NPR News. As Amy said, this weekend should be pretty nice. Currently, it's 43 degrees. There should be cloudy skies and a high around 53 today. Chance of frost tonight after midnight, a low around 33. But Saturday should be sunshine and warm in the afternoon, a high around 68. And Sunday, sunshine with a chance of afternoon showers, high around 70. WOSU's News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson moderates Columbus on the Record. The program features well-respected journalists and veteran political observers offering insight and analysis of the top stories of the week. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU-TV.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. We're talking about spring activities in Central Ohio, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Where is your favorite place to enjoy spring here in Columbus or in anywhere in Ohio for that matter? And we have Jerry on the line. Jerry, what would you like to talk about?
Well, first of all, don't forget the Top of Ohio bike ride out of Bell Fountain, or the Old Mill bike ride out of Yellow Springs, 35 miles each. And I wanted to mention High Banks Park, great hiking trails in there, and they're kind of up and down. I mean, they're not all flat. And you birders, identify this bird, please.
Oh. Jerry, what is that? are you playing me a bird noise?
That is the Gavia immer, a Latin name for the common loon. And that is a little stuffed one I bought at a national forest up in northern Wisconsin a few years ago.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were living with a bird. I was like, Jerry.
Sounds like Jerry's a loon.
I've been accused of being loony, but not that bad, I think. Anyway, there's some, by the way, a great part of the Buckeye Trail runs along the west side of Wolf Run State Park, which is 20 miles south of Cambridge. And for any hikers, that's a good place to go also. And they've even got what they call a Conestoga cabin, a little small log cabin that you can rent.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jerry.
Thanks,
and thanks for sharing your bird with us. Okay. We appreciate it. So Jerry mentioned a few things there. He gave a nice plug to High Banks. And
yep.
Did anyone want to talk about anything that Jerry mentioned besides the bird? I think we're okay with that.
I was going to say that I agree. I second it, and I think we've been mentioning it, that the High Banks really – and it's the most popular metro park by far, correct, Peg?
Just this year, Blacklick took over in attendance. But,
oh, okay.
But High Banks has always been, you know, 1.5 million people a year go to that park.
And we do have an email. We have an email question from Jeff. Is there a resource for hiking groups in central and north central Ohio, maybe a website or a name or a phone number, a hiking group?
Yeah, there's actually a couple that are using the meetup.com framework that got popular with Howard Dean a couple of years ago and kind of faded. But it's been really there's one at the Columbus Adventurers have like a really nice calendar and kind of a membership group. It's meetup.com/Columbus-Adventurers, I think. If you search on Meetup for the Columbus Adventurers, you'll find it. Hiking Ohio, you can also do the same thing. And those give those are really friendly groups that do a wide range of outdoor activities. And basically all you have to do is sign up and you'll get email alerts when, you know, just informal groups of people who like to do stuff outdoors. They meet up at various places, some close to Columbus. They do a couple of overnight trips every year. And it's a really great way to meet people who like to do what you do and, you know, maybe have some tips that you hadn't thought of.
And we also wanted to mention that, John, you've created an Ohio adventure map that's available at columbusalive.com. And it's basically all the places that you ventured. And you have a little, if you just click on all of the little pinpoints, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's really I saw kind of there was, you know, there's a lot of great outdoor resources in Ohio, and there's a lot of great groups, often volunteer groups, that are managing these resources. And there was really no central resource for this kind of information. So if you go to columbusalive.com/venture, V-E-N-T-U-R-E, you'll find basically an interactive atlas that has every place I've ever gone. There are slideshows, there are trip guides, there are trail reviews, there's gear reviews. Basically all the content that I've done over the last 3 or so years is on there. Basically it's just you click on it and you get address, driving directions, what it's all about, how to get there, and how to enjoy it. So I really hope that people are taking advantage of that. And all the links are color-coded, and you can really find your way around pretty easily.
Yeah, so if you have, if you know you're going to go visit some friends in a certain area, mm-hmm. and you want to do something else, you can just look on your map and see where the pinpoints are near where you're going, and just pick where you want to go.
Yep, and I've got mostly, you know, there's a lot of stuff around with the metro parks and around Central Ohio, but I've got everything from Shawnee down in Chillicothe up to Oak Harbor and Toledo, so it's pretty, it runs the gamut pretty well.
All right. And I did want to, we have about 15 minutes left, so that's still enough time for you to call in and give us your recommendation, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. But I just wanted to take a few minutes before I forget to talk about Earth Day. Earth Day is later this month, April 22nd, but there's a lot of activities going on. Gene, I know that just basically almost every park you have in your system is going to have an Earth Day cleanup.
Quite a few of them are. That's right. Next weekend and the following weekend, there are a few during the week, but primarily it's going to be on Saturdays. So that's how we're planning on celebrating Earth Day at the state parks. You can check out our website at ohiostateparks.org and find the one closest to you. Buck Creek, Buckeye Lake, kind of close to Central Ohio, are having events, Alum Creek. So it's a nice chance to get outdoors, get some fresh air and exercise, and give back a little bit.
And so is it something that you decided that it would be better to do it over the weekend before, rather than doing it on actual Earth Day? Since
right. That's
on?
More convenient for people. Of course, if you're so motivated, you can sign up as a volunteer, you can adopt a trail, and you can clean up a park any old time.
Of course. Yes, you can always pick up the litter. And Peg, let's talk about Earth Day in the Metro Parks. Are you having some cleanups too?
The kind of cleanups we're doing are going to be cleaning up invasive plants. So mm-hmm. we encourage people to come out to Blendon and Chestnut Ridge on the 17th, bring a pair of gloves, and we'll be pulling up everything from garlic mustard to invasive honeysuckle. So instead of trash, it's getting rid of these things that crowd out some of the other wildflowers and also impact the bird habitat. So you get a chance to pull somebody else's weeds rather than in your own garden.
and you'll be helping the parks while you pull those
weeds. You'll be helping the parks and the birds too.
Yes. So that's metroparks.net, and you can find out where those locations mm-hmm. are and what time to be there.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure there's people guiding people of what to pull and what not to pull.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. The things that hurt your hands are what you're pulling.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. And John, I know you recently wrote about Earth Day and an event called Update 2010 that's being done by Green Columbus. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Update 2010 is going to be really awesome. It's a citywide campaign that basically it's going to run with 2 work days, April 17th and 18th. And basically you can sign up at the website, and I think it's update2010.org.
Yep, you got it.
And then basically you just – if pulling weeds isn't your thing, fine. If planting trees isn't your thing, fine. You know, there's just so many different types of work days, work sites. People register them and just basically I've got an idea, I've got a project, I've got a community garden that needs some help. I list it on the website and then people can sign up to work it. And basically whatever your skills are, whatever your interests are, you can find a work day to match it, which is really cool. And then there is a party at Franklin Park Conservatory, which we mentioned about how awesome that place is earlier on April 22nd.
So you work hard on the 17th and 18th, and then you can go to a party on the 22nd?
Yeah, work hard, play hard, man. It's going to be awesome.
And I was reading about the party. It's a completely green party where they're going to have no waste at all. And for all the volunteers, they have a free scoop of ice cream and free beer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's I can't think of a better way to end an Earth Day workday than ice cream and beer and music. And I think there's going to be a lot of environmental booths there and learn about ways to get involved, you know, throughout the year.
And a zero waste celebration is what they're calling it. So that's on Earth Day, Thursday, April 22nd. You can find out more information at update2010.org. That's also on our website, wosu.org/allsides. And I was looking at some of the work sites. I just looked briefly. In Clintonville, for example, there will be a tree planting. You can also clean up parks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just basically anything that you want to do any hour of the day, and you have that option.
Yep.
Okay, so that's update2010.org. And so that would be our little Earth Day discussion, my little talk about Earth Day. So let's move back to things going on in the spring besides Earth Day. Peg, why don't you tell me about the event you have going on for Mother's Day?
We've got a couple of events going on. If you want to come out and meet the baby goslings at Blendon, a chance to, if you, I know it's the bird everybody loves, the goose, but
they're cute when they're young.
They're cute. They're just gorgeous. So the Naturalist does this every year, and on Mother's Day you can come out. Our friends at Audubon are also doing a Mother's Day birding program where you can come out for breakfast from 10 to 11, and they're celebrating the warbler, the American Red Start. If you complete 5 or 6 of the activities, you can get a prize in that. So it's a chance to reacquaint yourself with this beautiful park that's just recently opened along Whittier Peninsula. You can see about 200 species of birds at that park, so that's kind of a neat program on birding, a chance to get involved, and that'll be done by the folks at Columbus Audubon rather than Metro Park staff doing that particular program.
And speaking of mothers, you have a lot of baby animals at your park, too.
We sure do. We're the proud parents, and I shouldn't say it. We are all our staff's proud parents of 15 baby lambs that started being born in March. I think we have 5 sets of twins and 1 triplet. Does that add up to the number I said? If not, somebody's gotten lost along the way. We have about 39 little piglets running around. It's a safe time to come out and see the piglets now because when they're first born, the mother's very, very protective, but now they're a couple weeks older, and we're expecting a calf sometime in early May. So these are all animals that were around in the 1880s, the heirloom animals, the China Poland pigs, and we encourage kids to come out and work with the farmer and, you know, help slop the pigs and do all those wonderful things that they did the 1880s way down at Slate Run.
And, Jean, I know that at the state parks, I didn't write down which one, but there's a Mother's Day getaway. Maybe more than one has that.
Yeah, quite a few of them have Mother's Day getaways. Special campouts. There's a canoe trip up in Northwest Ohio at Van Buren. Rocky Fork in Southwest Ohio is doing a lot for Mother's Day. So Grand Lake St. Mary's, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There are quite a few of them that have special Mother's Day events. And, of course, it's always just a nice day to take your mom out for a lovely hike or a picnic.
Yes, yes, of course.
Or a weekend getaway.
And earlier in the show, or actually I think before the show, we were talking about how the cabins begin to fill up. So if people are planning for trips to the state parks, do they need to get to your website quickly?
Yeah, they do, especially for the summer. Some of the locations book up really quickly. There are a few locations, Mohican, I think Hocking Hills maybe, where you have to have a week-long stay June through August. It's always worth taking a look if you have an impetuous desire to go stay in a cabin in the spring or late summer. You might be able to find one quickly, but it's not a bad idea to start booking now.
So plan ahead if you want to visit.
Plan ahead.
If you want to visit the state parks and stay, but if you just for a day trip or maybe some camping, then you can be a little more flexible.
Summer holidays get pretty busy. We also offer an option called getaway rentals. They're not quite as large as those 2-bedroom vacation cottages, but it's kind of someplace in between camping and staying in a cottage or a lodge. And those tend to be maybe a little bit more available, and they're all right accommodations for a weekend. They'll get you up off the ground, but you can still have the experience of camping and the campfire and all that great stuff.
And tell us about the new rewards program that the State Parks is doing. This is
new,
right?
We're really excited about this, yeah. We're rolling out our rewards program for campers primarily. Also applies to the getaway rentals and to select cottages at the State Parks, generally the ones at the parks that don't also have a lodge, with the exception of Mohican. And in any event, when you stay at a State Park, it's free to sign up for your rewards card. For your camping trip, you get points for every dollar you spend on the camping fee. And then when you accumulate enough points, you get a free stay, which is very exciting and a good incentive to come back, stay often, and stay longer.
Okay, so is that something that you you sign up for and you get the card and then you start earning the points?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's free to sign up. Anybody can sign up on our mm-hmm. website or call the Camping Reservation Center. And most of the state park lodges are also offering incentives for reward card holders, where they're giving a really nice 50% discount on the regular room rate through the end of April. And then that discount is 25% through May and June. They take a little break over the summer. And then in the kind of fall off season after October, the 25% discount resumes. So it's a nice incentive to stay at a lodge. You don't get points. But you do get the discount if you're a rewards card holder.
Okay. And one thing I want to talk about, we have just about 5 minutes left. I wanted to make sure we talked about canoeing and kayaking. Is the water still too cold, or is this a time when you can start to think about doing that?
Yeah, I think the water is going to be a little – I was waiting. I was doing some fly fishing on the Scioto a couple of days ago. And, yeah, it's, with the spring rains and kind of the runoff, the water is still pretty high and pretty cold. But, you know, it's interesting. The paddling has just been really one of the – probably next to birding, probably the biggest increase in popularity over the last couple of years. And Ohio really does have some great liveries where, you know, you don't have to have – they'll rent you you know, life jackets and paddles and boats. Mm-hmm. And we've got two great ones, you know, within an hour drive. We've got Birch Bark Canoe Livery on the Mad River. That's kind of out near Dayton. And then Trapper John's on Big Darby, which is on the south side. So, you know, kind of mid-May, I would start, you know, really looking to make a reservation. It's great for big groups or just you and a friend or just, you know, that you can rent a solo kayak too. It's really one of the coolest things to do.
Jean?
And in addition to the stream paddling, a lot of the state park lakes, you can paddle around in a canoe. A lot of them have canoe rentals, although those usually get going later in May, maybe Memorial Day. But, yeah, I agree with John. It's paddle sports are just really taking off in popularity, and it's so much fun.
And, Peg, did you want to add anything about that?
John mentioned the Darby Creeks, mm-hmm. but we also at Prairie Oaks Metro Park, we've reclaimed some quarries. And so in May, a lot of our naturalists have canoes in those quarries for people who want to get a taste of paddling in that. You know, it's not like going down the scenic Darby, but to get you kind of an idea, bring your family out in that. And so those are held at Darby Bend. They're quarries, so they're fairly deep lakes in that. So it's kind of a neat thing to do.
And we have an email recommendation from Paul. He says, Madison Lake is a wonderful place to sit, walk, or fish, and it also has a nice 2 to 3 hour canoe tour. Does anyone know Madison Lake?
I haven't been to Madison Lake.
Have not been there.
It's a state park, okay. And it's south of Columbus. It's regionally, it's kind of in with our actually, it moved over to the Buck Creek State Park region. There's a big volunteer group there that's becoming very active, and it is a very nice, very quiet, calm, relaxing place.
Okay, and we have just about a minute left. That's enough time for everyone to give one quick recommendation. What are you going to do this weekend, or what should people try to do this weekend, since it's going to be nice, maybe a high of 70? Who wants to go first?
Sure. Wildflower hike.
Okay. Where would you say to go?
Where would I say to go? Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Maybe I'll pick someplace different because we've kind of already recommended a lot of spots. Caesar Creek State Park.
Okay.
It's a nice little place, kind of down on the way to Cincinnati. It's got some nice wildflowers and a nice nature center, very nice day getaway.
Okay, wildflower hike. And Peg, where should people go if they want to stay a little closer to home in the metro parks this weekend?
Blendon Woods, and our naturalist has a program called Battling Geese. And it's the geese fighting to who gets the best nest on Thoreau Lake.
Oh, Battling Geese. That sounds great. And John, where would you say you should go this weekend?
Gene mentioned it earlier, and it was one of the things I was going to mention. I would do the Springfield to Xenia and back bike trip on the Little Miami Scenic Trail and stop at Young's Jersey Dairy for some ice cream. That is a trip to never forget.
All right. Well, you've been listening to All Sides Weekend. I'd like to thank Gene Bax of the Ohio State Parks for being here. Thanks to Peg Hanley from the Metro Parks. Thank you for being here. And thanks to John Ross from Columbus Alive. And we have links to all of their websites at WOSU.org/allsides. Also, thank you to Emma Fett at the controls. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. And we're streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News and Fresh Air is next. Thank you.
Support for the Statehouse News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at OHEA.org.